The Redeemed Life Radio broadcast is a ministry of Redeemed Church, now meeting at Groove Nation Performing Arts Center, 3000 Columbia House Boulevard in Vancouver, Washington. Come experience Redeemed Church live this Sunday at 10:30.
Give thanks to God, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those He redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those He has gathered from every land. We testify to the work of His hand.
Hi, I'm Steve Livengood. My wife Shelley and I welcome you to the Redeemed Life Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Redeemed Church in Vancouver, Washington. The purpose of this radio broadcast is to bless you and build you up in your faith in Jesus. Now let's get right into this week's message. Radio Church, it's Pastor Steve. God bless you. Thanks so much for listening. I want to dedicate the entire month of November to being a month of thanksgiving and praise to God. Somebody just say, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You know, it's been such a challenging year, but the overcomer lives on the inside of us if we're born again. Amen. And I want to dedicate this entire month to just praising the Lord for His breakthroughs. Specifically, this month, we want to be believing God for financial breakthroughs for you. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 says this, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." Amen. And I want to have my wife Shelley share with you over the next few weeks, in fact, the entire month of November, every Sunday, she's going to be sharing with you some tremendous insights, biblical principles of prosperity. Amen. She teaches at our church every Sunday morning during the offering, and it's so marvelous to hear. She's such a wonderful Bible teacher and excels at biblical finances. So get ready to be blessed, and let's believe God for supernatural financial breakthroughs. Take it away, Pastor Shelley.
Well, we have been doing a series and a study that started with Ezra 10:4. And can everyone tell me what was the command that He gave us in Ezra 10:4? Read it up there. What does it say? What did you say? Thank you, Teresa. Everybody else? Rise up. Who's supposed to rise up? We are. Whose hands is it in? Our hands, right? We discovered that. And in week one, we talked about Abraham and how it was unlimited possibilities. God took him outside, showed him the stars, said, if you can count them all, then that's as many blessings as you've got coming, right? For his kids. And we talked about how that there are unlimited possibilities in our lives for financial breakthrough. Then we went to Joseph, unending potential. Don't let the world tell you, don't let anyone tell you who you are except God Himself. He's the only one who has a right to speak into your life and tell you who you are in His word, right? Joseph didn't listen to all the circumstances around him. He had a dream, and there was unending potential inside of him. Then we went to Ezekiel, and that was an exciting week. We talked about a unique perspective, right? Lord took him out to a valley of dry bones, and what did He tell him to do? Speak to him, right? And what happened when He spoke to him? They jumped up and came to life, right? And we talked about speaking to the things that look like they're dead in our lives with our finances and watching God do something. Incredible. And last week we talked about Peter and the widow and unusual provision. I'm excited this week because we got some unusual praise reports that came in. Starting with my parents, they got a letter stating that the government in North Dakota wants to put a water pipeline thing, right? Something like that, on the property in North Dakota that my dad owns. And they want to pay them for it. Woo! Right? That's unusual. How many times does the government call you up? And, oh, Dad, you have another thing? There you go. That's unusual blessing coming in. Hallelujah. And then Christina sent me a text yesterday, and she is going into the daycare business, so she is remodeling part of their home, and had gone to Home Depot to buy some stuff yesterday. came home, picked up her mail, and in the mail was a check for the exact amount that she had spent at the store, so it didn't have to come out of their finances. Unusual provision. But her sister has even a better one. Can I share it? Okay. So her ex-husband called her up and told her about a job that he had seen. Okay? God is good. He will work through anyone. We talked about that last week, didn't we? He called her up. She got that job. It was a pay raise for her. She doesn't have to travel as far, and there are different perks all along the way. God is doing unusual things in unusual ways, bringing us unusual blessings. Woo! God is so good, you guys. Our church, I shared it in praise and prayer, but I have to tell it again, just for those of you who didn't read it. We got a letter in the mail from, it's a friend of mine. His dad lives in California, and we pray for their family a lot and speak into their lives a lot. But he sent us a letter and said, I've loved what you've been saying on Facebook, so I've decided I'm going to monthly support you. Unusual provision. Woo! God is doing some amazing things. But hold on, because we aren't done yet. Today is amazing. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? I don't think you are. Okay, do the next screen for me. Uncompromising perseverance. Now, when you see a marathon, how many people start out running? Is it one? Or two? Or three? How many is it? Thousands sometimes, right? You see this herd, thank you. You see this herd of people rolling forward, right? Is there a herd of people at the finish line that come across at the same time? No, there's not. Why is that? Because only few have persevered to the point that they can actually finish, and most of the time finish first, right? Grab your Bibles and go ahead and open up to Genesis 5 first. Uncompromising. Can anyone tell me, just you can go ahead and shout it out, what does compromise mean to you? Give in. What'd you say, Doris? Give in. Okay, Richard. What else does it mean to you? What does compromise mean? Come on, you guys. Compromise. What does that mean in your life? You give up something. You let down, right? I remember my parents who said over and over and over and over and over and over and over in dating relationships, do not compromise. Do not lower your standards. Right? Give in, give up, let down. That's what compromise means. Well, we have a word that means uncompromising. And the definition for that is showing an unwillingness to change one's ways or opinion, to accept standards that are lower, less than, or making a deal. A lower standard, right? We aren't a part of that, right? We're choosing to be the second one. Sorry, the first one was compromising. The second one is showing an unwillingness to change one's ways or opinion. And you may say, oh, well, you don't want to be like that. When it's dealing with the Bible, you do. You want to be uncompromising. And the second part, the P, is perseverance. It's staying power. It's steadfastness in doing something despite the difficulty or the delay in achieving success. So when you put those two together, an uncompromising perseverance, it's a willingness or showing an unwillingness to change one's ways or opinions about steadfastness in doing something despite the delay. It's staying in there, sticking in there, not being willing to move no matter what. God gives you a word, you stay. Now go to Genesis chapter 5. And we're going to go to the very last verse of Genesis chapter 5. And it's very important that you read this number. And Noah was 500 years old. How old was he? 500 years old. Now, I want you to skip down to Genesis 6, verse 9. We're going to talk about Noah today. He's the guy we're going to be looking at. And in verse 8, it says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Above this, God is telling Noah, I'm done with the world. They have messed up. They're not repenting. There is no remorse in their heart. And so he's getting ready to do something dramatic. But Noah has found favor with the Lord. And this is the genealogy of Noah. Verse 9. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. Who'd he walk with? Who'd he walk with? Do you walk with God this morning? Yes, we do. It says that Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And he goes on and he tells Noah, this is what I want you to do. I'm about to destroy everything. I want you to make an ark of gopher wood, verse 14. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. Who's giving instructions here? So he's not just telling Noah to do something and dumping him, right? He is giving him detailed information about how to make this. Now, it doesn't say whether there were boats made during this time anywhere prior to this chapter. It doesn't say that. And for years, I was under the understanding that it had never rained. However, when God sets something in motion, it stays habitually, right? So we have a water cycle that we have on the earth, something that he designed and created. So there could have been rain based on what is already established today. However, there had never been a flood. There was no understanding of what that word meant, a flood. And to my knowledge, there had never been a boat that was built as big as this boat. Now, a lot of times we read through these and we see the cubits and we go, okay, whatever, what does that mean? So I'm going to tell you how long Noah's Ark was. Noah's Ark was, where did I put it? Shelley? Oh, there it is. Noah's Ark was 1.5 football fields long. So my boys who play football, flag football, can you imagine you would run from one end of a football field all the way across and then back halfway again. So 1.5 football fields long. It was 4 stories high. So when you see a building, you look out here, when you go out today, count up 4 stories, that's how high it was. It was enough to hold 450 standard semi-trucks. I did that for you, Richard. He drives semi-truck. 450 standard size. It was a big deal. A big deal. And this part of the country was still desert-like. It was not as desert as it is now because there's eventual fall, you know, that the world declined. But it was still a desert region. So he's building a boat that's 1.5 football fields long and 4 stories high. It doesn't tell us what his neighbors had to say about this, but since people don't change either in their responses, we can only imagine that he must have been peppered nonstop with, what in the world are you? You are crazy. You heard what? You're believing what? What's going to come? We don't have, we've never even heard of something like that before. And you're just building this big, huge thing in the middle of nowhere for what? Yeah, it's like, what are you talking about? How many times have you had someone tell you that in your life? You're believing for what? Everybody deals with this. You know, cancer just doesn't go away. Well, I don't know how in the world that your marriage is ever going to get back together. I don't know how your kids, they are so far gone. You're going to believe for what in their lives? Have you heard that before? Let's listen to the rest of the story. Now I want you to go to Genesis 7, verse 6. So the Lord told Noah everything that he needed to know about the ark. And then he told him chapter 6 that he was bringing 2 of every kind of animal. And there's an important thing that I want you to see. Skip up in one verse in chapter 6, verse 22. Noah did according to all that God commanded him. And this is vitally important. Noah did according to all that God had commanded him. He had an uncompromising perseverance. He didn't let what the world around him, he didn't even let what he thought change him. He had been given an assignment, and he did everything that the Lord commanded him. And then in chapter 7, verse 6, this is important. Noah was 600. Can you say 600? Say it again. The task that the Lord gave Noah, was it overnight? No. It was close to 100 years. We don't know specifically because we know 500 is when he started having his sons. And somewhere in that 500 to 600, the Lord gave him an assignment. So in those 100 years, somewhere in there, he built this ark. It was a long-term deal. Sometimes we live in this society and we think when we pray and we don't get our answer in the next 5 minutes, God doesn't hear us. Sometimes we press and we say, I've been serving you, Lord, for 12 years and nothing is changing in my life. Nothing is changing in my finances. What is going on? Uncompromising perseverance. At 600, keep going in that same verse, 600 years old when the floodwaters were upon the earth. And Noah and his sons and his sons' wives and Noah's wife went into the ark along with all the animals that the Lord had brought to him. And on the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, verse 11, the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the foundations of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. He was safe. He and his family were safe inside. Sometimes when the Lord gives you something to do and it takes time and you're pressing on and you're pressing on and you're pressing on and you're wondering why it doesn't look like anything's changing in the natural realm, never underestimate things are happening in the spiritual realm. Noah created something with the Lord's design and it saved him and his whole family. Uncompromising perseverance. What I feel like the Lord is saying to us today is that we need to get to that place where we have uncompromising perseverance. That when the Lord speaks something into our lives, that we stand and 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 we do not give up. You may say, well, it was just Noah and his family. No, it was all of mankind that was riding along in that ark. We didn't all come from Adam and Eve. We all came from Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Without Noah's obedience, nothing would be here. What if he'd have said halfway along the way, you know, this is a really dumb idea. I'm not going to build this ark. There may even be a flood. Knowing how us wives are, I'm sure at some point she said, it'd be really nice if you just went back to being a farmer, okay? Instead of building this big ark, right? There were things that he had to fight against, but he had uncompromising perseverance to keep on keeping on. And what happened? He saved his family and he saved us. Uncompromising perseverance. He was unwilling to change, even though it took years to make it. Now, a question for you. Who built the ark? Thank you, kids. Noah. Did God build the ark? No. God provided a way. He provided an answer. But it was in Noah's hands to do it. Today, I want to challenge you. I believe God has placed things in your lives, something he's given you to do. You may not understand it. It may not make sense to you. But if you will have uncompromising perseverance to stay in there and do what he's asked you to do, you will see souls saved. This series isn't just about our finances, you guys. This series is about anything in your life that the Lord is speaking to you. But in our finances, when he tells you to do something, do it. And you maybe say, well, what has he told me to do? Give your tithes and your offerings. Just start there. He's provided an ark plan for you. He said, he's saying to you, in the days and months and weeks ahead of us, the world may not always have the resources that you need. There's a flood coming. But guess what? You can be safe in your ark because you took your tithes and your offerings and you built something with it. And then you stand with uncompromising perseverance, knowing that God has a plan, and it's to save you, and not just you, but the world around you. You guys, uncompromising faith. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Old Testament isn't just stories that were created for us to go, oh, we can teach this to our kids. They're examples for us to see. The ark was a symbol of salvation. How many doors were on that ark to get in and out? One. There was only one way in and one way out. Just like Steve said, one Jesus. If we will have uncompromising faith to just dig our feet in and say, I'm not moving. I'm going to do what the Bible says. I'm going to stand on what the Bible says. I'm going to believe what the Bible says about my finances, about my family, about my life, about my career, about my destiny, about my calling. We will see the world changed through us. And you may be sitting there going, I'm just one person. That's what Noah probably thought. And he changed the world. One person. That's probably what Martin Luther King Jr. thought. I'm just one person, God. I'm sure that's what Billy Graham thought. I'm just one person. But one person can change the world. You think about that $1 trillion. Steve and I were talking about it. So you don't like the Super Bowl commercials. You don't just go buy the commercials. You go buy the network. Right? Because money answereth all things. And if it's in the right hands of people who are doing the right thing, there is an end time transfer of wealth coming. Not just so we can hoard it up. It is to be a blessing to us. But we are blessed to be a blessing. I've talked about it before. We could change this entire city if our church began being the ones who were writing the checks to places. The nonprofits, the people who are blessing the community. What if it all started coming from us? Then our voice is going to make a difference, right? Because we're the voice that God is using in the world today. It doesn't end. It just keeps going and going, the amazingness that God has. But we have to have uncompromising perseverance. We're not giving up. Our dreams are that close. Our answers, our prayer way. You don't know what day it will be when you do that last prayer and it pushes through and the blessings pour out. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Say it with me. Don't give up. Stand your ground like Noah did. Finish what God has given you to do and watch the amazing things that he will do. Grab your tithes and offerings. Lord, we just thank you today. Your word says that when we have done all to stand, we are going to have uncompromising perseverance. We're going to be the ones that are going to finish that marathon and run across as a group. There's not going to just be one or two of us. We're going to be united. We're going to go forward, Father, and we're going to stand on your word, and we are not going to be persuaded to the left or to the right. We are going to be so focused and so determined to only believe your word. what your word has to say about our finances, what your word has to say about our families, what your word has to say about our bodies and our healing and our wholeness. And Father, what it has to say about the people that we touch around us every day. We're going to stop letting the world and the devil tell us we have to believe something different. We're going to stop listening to what the doctors say as the truth, and we are going to stand on the truth in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. But Lord, as you've been showing us this entire way, you've already provided the plan. You have already provided the answer. It's in our hands. It's in our hands today. I want to do something unusual. I just believe today we need to make a statement, kind of like I was talking about during worship. But I believe this is a powerful thing that's going to happen today. I want you to think about something in your life that you felt like maybe wouldn't change. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe they've been the same as they've always been. Or maybe God's been challenging you to believe for something different, but the enemy keeps coming in and giving you excuses. Maybe there's a health issue in your body today that you've been fighting and fighting and praying and praying and praying. Whatever it is, I want you to stand right now as a declaration that today is the day you are saying, I am going to have uncompromising perseverance. I am not going to give up in Jesus' name. I am going to stand my ground, and I am going to see the promise that God has given me come to pass in Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for joining us for the Redeemed Life Radio broadcast. Check us out on the web at redeemed-church.org. You can hear many free full messages there and get info on service time and location. You can also correspond with us by mail at P.O. Box 1248, Washougal, Washington 98671. Until next week, this is Steve Leifengood reminding you to keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon.